Let's open our Bibles then now to 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. As we pointed out last time we got together, it seems to me at least that the last part of chapter 9 probably belongs grouped together with chapter 10, verse number 24 and following in chapter 9, that is. So let's read it. And then I think what we probably need to do is read much of chapter 10 so that we can collect our thoughts around what Paul is attempting to present to us here. Now in verse number 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, we'll remember that the Corinthians had asked quite a number of questions of Paul in a letter, and he's in the process of answering these questions, and he's kind of summing up the spirit of this whole thing. They're more asking him for specifics. Is it okay if we do this? Is it okay if we do that? Is it okay if we do something else? And if we'll remember, some of the issues that have come up is whether or not it would be okay to eat in an idol temple. We'll find out that they've also asked, could we eat something that has been sacrificed to idols, but we bought it down in the marketplace? And the questions of fornication, there's a case of fornication going on in the church right now amongst them. And so all of these things kind of get to the place where the Corinthians are looking at that and saying, what is the answer to this, and losing the much larger picture of why we're here. And Paul has brought this thing up before. We're here so that we can be ambassadors of Christ with the ministry of reconciliation. And that's not to say that these things aren't important. But, you know, sometimes we get so wrapped around the axle about is it okay to do this and is it okay to do that, and should we not do the other thing, should we do this, that we're so wrapped up in the minutiae of things that we forget what we're supposed to be doing. And so Paul now, in the few verses that we just read, brings forth the idea of running a race. We Christians are running a race, and we need to keep our eye on the prize. We need to keep our eye on the goal. We need to keep our eye on the purpose, because we're only here for a certain amount of time, and after that we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and then none of these questions are really going to matter. Well, they'll matter at the judgment seat of Christ, so far as that individual is concerned. But the greater thing that we need to keep in mind is we have business to do, and we can't get wrapped up in a bunch of side issues that would detract us from running straight to the finish line. So that's what he's bringing up here. And so he's kind of telling the Corinthians, yes, I'll answer your questions and all these things are well and good, but don't forget that we're running a race. Don't get so wrapped up in these things that we have lost sight of the goal, if you will. Now he comes back to the distractions once again in chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, verse number 1, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were in samples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. neither be idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Let me read verse number 24 again, because here's where we'll stop for right now. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Is it entering into your mind that we're going to tie all this to that verse? Does that verse remind you of something that's already been said in Paul's letter to the Corinthians? Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. I didn't read the word wealth there, because it wouldn't necessarily be wealth. Is there a principle that's been expressed before in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that go right along and fit with verse number 24? Look out for somebody else. Pardon? That's true. That's right. No man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. Can we expand on that thought just a little bit? It's already been brought up and we've looked at it, and Paul has made mention of this a number of times in connection with other things and these things that he has previously discussed in this book. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Worry about somebody else before you worry about yourself. What has he said before in this book that sounds almost like that? He didn't phrase it exactly this way, but it's the same thought. That's it exactly. Don't be a stumbling block to a weaker brother. We're here as ambassadors, not stumbling blocks. We're here with the ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of stirring up strifes and troubles. Amen? Okay, so now, let's take this whole portion of Scripture with that thought in mind. Now, in verse number 24 through 27 of the previous chapter, Paul talks about running a race and being single-minded about it, knowing exactly what he's doing and exactly how he's going about it, and he's not wasting any time. He's not beating the air, and he's not going to let his flesh get the best of him, right? Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Remember when we read that last time we got together, I asked for another word instead of body. In verse 27, but I bring under my flesh. Does Paul talk in the book of Romans about the flesh and the flesh nature? He certainly does. What's Romans chapter 7 about? Yes, the war between the flesh nature, the carnal man, the old man, the Adamic man, and the new man. It was quite a struggle, wasn't it? Do you think he's talking about that same Romans 7 struggle here in verse number 27? Sure he is. Of course he is. The struggle goes on within all of us, but we can't let it take us down. We've got to remember that we're ambassadors and we have a job to do and we've only got so much time to do it. And we're ambassadors of the King with the ministry of reconciliation. So we don't want to derail that, do we? We don't want to enter into the ministry of stumbling block. Okay, that's what all the questions that the Corinthians are asking are about. Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do something else? And Paul's answer up to this point is, yeah, you can probably do it. You're not going to lose your salvation over it. You know, an idol is nothing. It's a piece of rock that's shaped like something. But some people think there's something to it. And then he's going to raise another question here too. The people that think there is something to it and think there's a God behind it are really sacrificing to devils. And you don't want to have any part with that, do you? Even though the idol is a piece of brass or a piece of gold or a piece of stone or a piece of wood and it's really nothing. There's something assigned to it. There's something that people think about it. So we have to beware here. Now, this church at Corinth, oh my, this church at Corinth, they had spiritual gifts, didn't they? The Spirit really poured out the gifts on this church. Didn't 1 and 2 Corinthians, where you find a majority of the information about spiritual gifts, if you're wanting to check up on spiritual gifts and what they are, isn't that where you'll find them? Sure. This church was very rich in spiritual gifts. Do you think that could represent a danger? Yeah? It sure could. What did the Greeks like to rely on? Wisdom. Do you think there's a danger of Christians relying on intellectualism? I'm smarter than God is, and I've got some things figured out. So why consult the Word of God? We know what to do. Do you think the Jews had a history that maybe could make them a little overconfident? What might it be? They were, but could you point to some things that a Jew might look back at and say, ha, we got this over the Gentiles. They were given the law. Of course, that was an albatross hung around their neck. Well, sure, they were given land, but they also enjoyed the very presence of God and mighty miracles that he did. They could go back and say, well, you dumb Gentiles never took a hike through the Red Sea. You never saw God in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. You never had the very tabernacle of God right in the middle of your camp. Yes, you've never eaten any manna. Well, Paul is going to bring something up here for the Jewish believers, primarily. I think. Are you kind of getting the idea maybe the Jewish believers were causing as much trouble in this church as the Gentile believers? He sure is dealing with them because most of the Gentile believers wouldn't have known these things, would they? Verse number 1, chapter 10, moreover, brethren. Not moreover, y'all. He's talking to Christians here. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Let's take this portion now and take a closer look at it. Verse number 1, moreover, in other words, in addition to what I just got done saying, I'm going to throw something else out in front of you. Brothers, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let's see if we can figure out what this means. There was baptism before John the Baptist? What do you think this means? And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What do you think that means? Yes, the word baptize, baptizo, has several usages in the New Testament. One of the usages is the literal one, which means to submerge, to immerse, to dip. And the other one is, as Brother Sam just pointed out, identification. It's a badge of identification. What is Christian baptism? It's both. It's immersion in water and a testimony of salvation. It's both. But verse number 2 says, we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Isn't somebody going to ask, baptized unto Moses? Nobody's going to ask that question? Good. Then I can just pass it over. Think of all the time we'll save. Yes, identified with Moses, but what might that point out to you? Because you know, you could take this passage of Scripture that we just read, the longer passage, and say, see there, a person could lose their salvation. I told you so. That's a good thought. They're being baptized unto a man instead of being baptized unto Christ. What would that mean then? Baptized unto Moses. Why that man? Oh, yes, exactly. Moses represented the law. How did Moses come to represent the law? Now, don't lose sight of this. This is important. Okay. And then what did he do? See, Moses was the first one to break the law. Moses is the representative of the law. How far can the law take you? Where did Moses stop? He didn't cross into the promised land, did he? How did they get into the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. Well, how did they get in? What was so special about Joshua and Caleb? Did they keep the law perfectly? They didn't? Then how come they got in and all the rest didn't? Oh, what's that word called? Faith! It's always been faith. But God is dealing with these people now according to the law, isn't he? They were baptized unto Moses or baptized unto the law. What was the oath that was taken at the foot of Sinai by the children of Israel? When Moses read the law, what did they say? Oh, all that the Lord has said, we'll do. They entered into the covenant. Now, was the law a conditional covenant or an unconditional covenant? It's conditional. It's also impossible to keep. I'll bet Joshua and Caleb would have said, praise the Lord! Because they didn't keep it either. Not perfectly. But yet they went into the promised land. Remember that. They were all, verse number 2, baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ or the Lord. What are we going to make of this? They all did eat the same spiritual meat, and they all did drink the same spiritual drink. Now, this is going someplace. Paul is not bringing this up because he needed to get his word count up here, or the publishers weren't going to run with this thing. This is important stuff, and it'll really help us to understand where we're at if we grab hold of this. Paul is leading the Corinthians into some deep truth here. Mm-hmm. What do you think that the spiritual truth is here? Notice he keeps saying, and all. Look at verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Would that include those that fell? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? Would that include those that fell? Okay. What do you suppose that means? Drank the spiritual meat and drank or ate the spiritual meat and drank the spiritual drink. What do you think that means? Sure, they were all united together in this covenant. It was a covenant relationship, wasn't it? The covenant of the law. They were given access to God. They were bound under a covenant, and it's a covenant outside of faith, isn't it? Joshua and Caleb made it in because of faith, not because they perfectly kept the covenant. Because the scripture is very clear that all are transgressors, not just some. Are you getting the idea here that they all went through the same religious routine? They all did the same things. They all ate the manna. They all followed the pillar of fire. They all followed the pillar of cloud. They all camped around the tabernacle. They did all of these things all together. Right? Somebody ought to be putting this together with our Sunday school lessons on the seven letters to the seven churches. And if you can put this together, you just unravel the key to what Paul is trying to teach here. Can somebody do that? Remember the kingdom of heaven parables, the wheat and the tares? Yeah, and when they all grow together, are they all going through the same things together, like they've all been dunked in water? They've all heard the Bible preached. They've all partaken of the Lord's table, the wheat and the tares together. You suppose that's where Paul might be going with this? Well, that's one side of it. By the way, do you think it's possible for a person that really is a Christian to do things that God's not well pleased with? Remember, the idea here is Paul is trying to tell these Corinthians, you're getting all wrapped up with the minutiae of your old life and your old customs, and you're more concerned with what kind of fleshliness is allowable, instead of understanding that you are ambassadors of Christ and you're running a race. And there are certain things that are more important than these things, but these things could drag you down and get you off course if you are a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, well, a lot of those people that were baptized unto Moses thought they were okay, didn't they? We're going to get to a verse that points that out in a stark way in just a moment. So verse 4, they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Overthrown. He amplifies the meaning of that word overthrown. In verse number 9, destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 10, destroyed of the destroyer. That's a strong word, overthrown. What's Paul pointing out here? Most of the people in that previous dispensation that went along with Moses that had come up out of Egypt. And remember, that was a mixed multitude. But the church is a mixed multitude too, isn't it? This is one side of a coin here. It's not exactly what Paul's driving at, but it is one side of a coin. There are a lot of tares in the pews. They better take heed and not think that all of the so-called Christian rites and rituals, if you want to call them that, like baptism, even if it's by total immersion in a Baptist church, and the Lord's table, even if it's with the proper elements in a Baptist church, doesn't save you because it didn't save them. And I think this is a warning to the Corinthians. Don't get too sure of yourself. You stand by faith or you don't stand at all. And then the other side of the coin is it's very possible for people to give themselves over to the flesh and still be truly saved, isn't it? Now, would the result be the same? Here's where you have to be careful. Paul is talking about the church here because this is written to 1 Corinthians. And he's talking about national Israel. We're not talking about somebody losing their salvation on the personal level. And we don't have time to get into that tonight because we have exactly 1 minute left. But this scripture is not teaching that a person who is saved can lose their salvation, but it is teaching that the flesh is capable of doing some things that can cast a huge stumbling block in front of somebody else. And that's why I read down to that last verse that we just read tonight and asked you to make the connection before we started talking about the particulars of everything that came in between. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you might cast a huge stumbling block in front of others. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things aren't expedient. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you tonight that we have your word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will explain it to us so that we understand the gravity of this matter without misunderstanding it too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.